Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, today's message is entitled No Regrets in 2023. I wanted to take another week of break away from our series that we're doing on Living for Eternity, though this really ties into it. And we'll get back to that here in the coming weeks. But you know, we're heading into this new year, and so it's just kind of like an unavoidable moment of reflection. Like, even if you're like, bah humbug, I don't like New Year's. I don't even know what that would look like, but whatever. You don't have to like it or not like it. It happened. I mean, whether you like it or not, it is now 2023. 2022 is gone, is over. And so it's a moment to kind of like just reflect, and it's a great opportunity that's kind of written into our culture to go, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is my energy, my time, and my money, like, am I where I want to be? And I think that's a really helpful moment. And the fact that today is New Year's Day, I just wanted to kind of catapult off of that. There's a lot of things that I hope go good for you this year. And I hope you're blessed beyond measure in a million ways. But in all of your life and all the things that I hope are good, nothing touches, not near as much, as I hope that your heart is growing in love for God and your life is reflecting that love. I can't think of anything that's more important. And so as we're talking about no regrets in 2023, I want us to take the opportunity to reassess our lives and make sure it's what's most pleasing to God. If I had a phrase that I think is would make a better title even than what I put up there, is to live in a way that is most pleasing to God this year. To kind of focus on it, think about it. Give some time today or tomorrow. You know, one of the things that's a benefit of being a part of this church is that we're having everybody join a prayer meeting. That's 2 hours to talk to the Lord about something. This week, I want to encourage you, take that 2 hours and talk to the Lord about this year and just make sure you're where you ought to be in your heart and in your life and some alignment points. Let's take the moment to reassess, because I think all those moments, I mean, you can't do it every day in a really sober way, but every now and then you can take a really sober self-reflection look, like deep dive, Lord, where am I at with you? How are things going? And I think this is a really helpful moment that we can take advantage of. I think it's helpful also that the series we've been doing on Living for Eternity has just been so calling our attention to live with an eternal mindset, to live with that thought process in mind. And I think that's super helpful, and it strengthens us, and I think really kind of lends into today. So some of what we're going to talk about today, we've actually kind of already hinted at throughout this series. But this idea of living with no regrets, let me tell you a few things that I know you will never regret. Remember that whole judgment seat of Christ thing, living for eternity. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account of our life, and he's going to assess the decisions that we made. He's going to assess how we spent ourselves, where we invested ourselves. And he's going to smile, or not smile quite as big, based off of how we lived our life. Still saved, still in heaven, but it's not like we show up before the throne and he goes, all of you lived exactly the same. That would be a lie. That would actually be unjust. God would be accused of being unjust if everybody got the same reward when one really pressed in to give their whole life to him and another got saved and then just sort of tried to stay saved and barely touched the things that were on God's heart, barely invested their heart in loving God more. That would be actually an injustice. And the good news is it's not that way. But here are some things I know you'll never regret. You will never regret giving more of yourself to God. Whatever that looks like, you will never regret that decision. You are going to live a very, very, very long time in eternity, forever. You will never regret decisions made in this life, giving yourself more to God. You might regret some career choices. You might regret some investments. You might regret a car purchase. Like, oh, man, I bought a lemon. You will not regret anything you did to try to give yourself more to the Lord. You will not regret giving more of your life and more of your will to the Lord. Just your will, sacrificing your will. Forever, you will be praised by God for the way that you submitted your will to the Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lean not on your own understanding. You will never regret giving yourself over. More of your life, more of your heart, more of your will, more of your you. You know, there's some things about us that I think we actually tend to idolize some pieces of our personality if we're not careful. And we go, well, this is who I am. This is how I am. This is how God made me. Therefore, dot, dot, dot. And if we're not careful, those therefores can actually wind up being excuses for us standing in the way of things God wanted to do in our life. You will never regret giving yourself more over to the Lord. Your will, your desires, you will never regret that. There are some things you will regret, and we'll touch on those in a minute. The way I see it is, here in a minute, because I'm going to ask some questions that I was like, oh, I was pained by, I was working through. I'm going to ask some questions. The way I see it is, we're going to wind up in one of three postures. Everybody in the room is going to wind up in one of these three buckets, okay? One of these three positions, one of these three answers to these questions. One is, I did it! Another is, I didn't really do it. And the third is, I did it, but I want to do it more better. One of those three. I did it! I didn't do it. I did it, but I want to do it more better. One of those three. We're going to all wind up in one of those three buckets here in a minute. And I want to encourage you, as I ask some tough questions, because they're tough. I want to ask you some tough questions. Don't project a false version of yourself. Don't lie to yourself. How unhelpful. I mean, it's telling yourself you can fly. You start flapping your arms and jump off a cliff. It will not end well for you. No, I can. I can fly. No, you're lying to yourself. You actually can't fly. Just be real. Answer the questions real. It's not like anybody knows. It's just you and the Lord and your own little soul and you kind of just having a moment here. But before I ask these questions, I just want to give you Proverbs 27:6 because I am your friend. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. There are things that we need to hear. There are tough things we need to be confronted with and ask ourselves and deal with for our good, for our greatness, for our joy, for purpose, for our destiny. There are things we need to grapple with. So while I'm going to ask you some tough questions, I promise you this comes from a posture of trying to be helpful. One more verse. 2 Corinthians 7:10. This is Paul trying to be helpful. He likes the Corinthians. He's trying to help them. And he says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and it leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I'm actually, if I can be honest, I'm hopeful. I have been praying this morning that the Lord would bring godly sorrow into the room this morning. That brings conviction, that empowers us to love him better. See, Paul's writing to a bunch of saved people. The Corinthians, there's a bunch of believers in the Corinthian church. And he says to the Corinthians, he says, I'm going to tell you about this thing called godly sorrow. It's a touch of the Holy Spirit that isn't the warm fuzzies in worship. It's a touch of the Holy Spirit that brings about deep repentance and remorse over loss, over lack, over sin, over compromise, over waste. Godly sorrow. And he says, it's so good. He says, it leads to salvation and it leaves no regrets. You will not regret godly sorrow. You will praise the Lord for godly sorrow. I want you to posture yourself this morning and go, if you're willing, if you're daring, God, touch me even with godly sorrow this morning, if it will benefit my soul, if it will help me to grow in God. Touch me this morning with godly sorrow if I need it. Here's the questions, and I'm going to go slow so you can actually think. So this is kind of like we're doing like a teaching / devotional time here. This is Brad guided devotion, okay? I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to actually like think about them and talk to Jesus for a minute. Here's the first question. Are you proud of the way you gave yourself to him in 2022? Are you proud of the way that you lived before God and gave yourself to him in this last year? You look back over the year and go, I'm proud of the way I gave my life to you, Jesus. I lift it up to you. I'm proud of the way I live for you. Just think, I did it. I didn't do it. I did it, but I want to do it more better. Are you proud? Do you look at it as an offering of the way that you lived your life before God this last year? Are you pained by how little of you God actually had a hold of? Are you pained by areas that you know you did not submit to God last year? Are you pained? Is there pain in your heart of things that you didn't even think to give him? You didn't even think to talk to him about? Are you pained by how little of you God actually had? Either I did it, I didn't do it, or I want to do it more better. Just think about the year. Were the bulk of your decisions ones that you made thinking of God and praying about? Was the bulk of the way that you spent your life and your time, stuff that you knew the Lord had for you, that you knew the Lord was in? Or did this last year, you knew the Lord, you talked to him, but he didn't really have your whole life? Do you want things to look different in 2023? So how'd things go last year? You want to have a repeat? You want 2023 to look just like 2022 looked, related to the answers to those questions? If your answer is yes, sweet. Sweet. Ask the question, though. I want to encourage you right now, don't ignore these questions. Don't just pass me off this morning. This is for your good. Take the time to ask these gut-wrenching questions. And then let the Lord in. Let him help you. The counselor will help you. He's here for your good. Do you want things to look different in 2023? Like this time next year, and we're back at this moment, if we have one, is your answer going to be the same as it was? Do you want your answer to be different? It really comes back down to that first question. Are you proud of the way that you gave your life to the Lord in this last year? Like you'd go before we go, Jesus, look what I gave you. And you know with a smile, he'd look back and go, look what you gave me. That was awesome. What a year of love of attention, of yes, what a year? Or is there a different answer? Listen, I'm not asking you to tell me your answers. I'm asking you to tell you your answers so that you can have a sober moment and go, okay, how awesome is it to look back and go, yeah, yeah, I did it. I'm really proud of what I'm able to give him. How cool is that? How helpful is it if you're like, I really wish I had done this a little differently. Lord, help me to have grace to do it differently this year. That's helpful. That's a blessing. You know, you only have one life, and it's ticking. You only got so much time. You don't get a redo. In this sense, you get a reset. You get a new year, a new starting point. You can get a new answer in a year if you live it different, if you approach this different. You could actually take this next year and have a reset and go, okay, 2022, I was like a little distracted with this, and I was giving myself too much in this way, and I really wasn't thinking about the Lord, really wasn't attentive to him in these areas. Sweet. Address it. And that's that last question is, what are you going to do to make it look different? What are you going to do to make it look real, to make that real this year? You can't just hope and cross your fingers. That won't work. You'll wind up in the same spot. Like, we've learned that lesson, right? I mean, just in anything, it's like, if you burnt the eggs because you cooked them too long, and next week you burn the eggs because you cook them too long, and next week you burn the eggs because you need to cook different. I'm talking to myself. Notorious for burning eggs. The three times I've cooked them. Like, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. That's insanity. And so you got to think about, okay, Lord, I want to give you more of myself for you. For you, and knowing the exchange rate is so high that if I give you more of myself, you're going to give me so much more of you. I'm going to live happier. I'm going to live stronger. I'm going to live more godly. There's 100 things that are going to be benefited that the return rate is sweet. But I want to give it to you. I want that. So, Lord, help me. And then you've got to start strategizing. Because if you do what you did last year with your time and your energy and your thought life and your free time, all that stuff, if you do the same thing, you're going to wind up the same spot. It's real simple. But you don't have to. Because I'm hoping this morning that the presence of godly sorrow, which is for our good, which leads us to repentance, which blesses us in every way, I'm praying that godly sorrow would strike our hearts, would touch us and help us to prioritize, start to stir some things in us that would cause us to see things differently now, more mature now. Well, avoiding regret. I just think about the ones that are upstairs right now, if we could ask them some questions. A friend, a family member that you know is in with the Lord. If we could get the opportunity, like, hey, give us some insight. If you could do this again, what would you do different? I feel like actually we already know the answers. They would maybe give us specifics to them, but I think in general, we already know the answers. You'll never regret giving them more of your attention and your affections. How much attention and affections did you give Jesus last year? If you can figure out a way to give him more of your attention and more of your affections this year, you will not regret that decision. That will be wisdom. You will look at that and go, good game plan. That was a win. I had a lot of losses in this year, but that was a win. You will not regret that. I just think the host of heaven, they go, oh, I wish I would have given him more attention and more of my affections. Now, again, they may say it more, you know, articulately. But I think when it gets down to it, I think that's one of the big ones. What else? You will never regret giving him more of your time and more of your talents. More of your time. We've only got 168 hours in every single week. We spend those hours. All of us are given the same playing field. It's all 168. We all choose how to spend those hours. I just feel like the saints in heaven, they'd go, I wish I would have given him more of my time and more of my talents. The talents, the gifts and the strengths and the things that the Lord has given you, the things that he's done to you, the things that he's outfitted you with, things that you're wired for, things that he gave you grace to learn, things that he gave you grace to understand and be good at, and different strengths. I think another one of those big ones is they're going to say, I wish I'd have given him more of my time, because that's your biggest strength, and more of my talents, which goes right along with it. I wish I'd have given him more of that. I'll tell you this, you will never regret giving God more of your time and more of the talents that he gave you, figuring out how to give them back. You'll never regret that. I promise you. You will stand before him, and every moment that you chose to give him time and talents, you are going to be so happy forever that you did that. Yeah, but I'll get behind a little bit in life. You're going to live forever. You're going to get ahead in life. You're going to get a lot ahead in life. Yeah, you got some light and momentary afflictions. Yeah, if you give more time, that means you've got less time for whatever. If you give more of your talents, yeah, it means those talents are not being used in quite the same way for yourself and your stuff as they were a minute ago. You will never regret it. Never. You'll never regret giving him more of your money and more of your resources. I guarantee it. Your money and your resources. Never. Giving it to him. Lord, I'm going to give you my resources. Resources you can buy with money, but a lot of you have already got resources and may not have any money. But you've already got resources. Using the car to give somebody a ride. I mean, it's using your home to host for that moment for that person that needs it. It's a million things related to resources and your money. Think about this. Really think about this conversation. You're standing before the Lord and you're having a conversation about your life back in this time frame. And you go before the Lord, Lord, remember that time that I gave you that extra money? And it's like, I really wanted to use it for this. I really wanted to do this. It's like, and the Lord's like, oh, I loved that. That was amazing. You're like, really? Why didn't you say anything? I really could have used some encouragement then. He's like, I did. I told you over and over in the word, given it will be given to you. I told you over and over, it's impossible to please me without faith because you have to believe there's a God on the other end of the equation. I told you over and over, I'm pleased with it. You will never regret money you give away. In this age, it's a pinch because if you give it away, now you don't have it to do something. You will never regret that decision in heaven. Forever, you will go, good plan. Glad I pressed through the pinch. Same thing with your resources and the use of them. You will never regret that. You just won't. You won't regret that. You will be thankful forever. It requires faith, because if you give away money or time or attention or talents or any of these things, it requires faith, because you have to believe that like there's actually some on the other end of the phone call. Like, if I give this up, if God doesn't exist, then I'm just dumb. Then I just gave it to air. It's like, hello, air, here's my money and my time. But if God's real, because that's the whole thought process, if you're real, then I'm giving it to a person. And there's a person that sees it and that's pleased by it. You will never regret giving your resources and your money. Think about that. This year. I promise you, you will never regret your yes. Anytime you say yes to the Lord, you say yes to what's right. You say yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You say yes to what is being asked of you. You say yes to what the Word of God calls us to. You will never regret that yes. Never. In the moment, it has a pinch, because yes means I've now got to do something, think something, believe something, go somewhere that I didn't plan to do before. Yes means action. Yes means cost. I don't mean that it won't cost you here and now. I mean you will never regret it. You will never regret your yes. But you sure will regret your no. You're going to regret your no. I don't want to. I'm unwilling. I don't like that. No, that's just not me. You will regret every one of those, I promise you. You will regret that. There's a good chance you're going to regret how focused you were on yourself and on your own life. Last night at the prayer room, doing a session on the Sermon on the Mount, and the statement came out, and it just rattled me that there's not a single Bible verse that praises living for yourself. There's just not one. Living for ourselves is an entirely self-made thought process that we pat ourselves on the back for, and our culture pats us on the back for, and the devil is like elated. He's on the sidelines cheering that team. Live for self. Live for yourself. There's not a single Bible verse that says do that. Not one. Because that's not what we're supposed to do. You will regret how much you lived for yourself. I want that one to strike you. I want that to hurt. That's a wound from a friend. You will stand before him and you will regret how much you chose to live for yourself instead of living for him and the kingdom. Oh man, shock me now, don't shock me then. Deal with me now, God help me. I do not want to stand before you and have to give an account of my living for myself and my defense being, well, everybody else was doing it. And the Lord's like, really? Everybody else was going to hell too. Do you think that was a good idea? You will regret it for yourself and your own life. I want to say this one kindly. I love you. You will regret how much attention you gave to your desires. You will regret it. We all have desires. But the word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You will regret how much attention you gave to the pursuit of your desires. That's not a happy message. That's not one you probably have heard. You're going to stand before him, and he's going to go, what'd you do with that time? What'd you do with that thought life? What'd you do with those resources? What'd you do? You only had so many years on the earth. What'd you do? Well, I gave myself to my desires. I wanted stuff. And you gave me power, so I went out and I made my stuff happen. I made my life happen. I got my desires. And the Lord's going to go, what Bible verse did you base that on? One. What Bible verse said, pursue your own desires with a lot of energy so that you can get them made? So that you can get them met. There's no faith involved in that. There's no God involved in that. That's how the agnostics and the atheists live. Because they don't have a God to be a part of the equation. He says, that's not my kingdom. That's not how I do things. You're going to regret how much money you spent on yourself. We are living in the most rich, affluent nation. How much money we spend on ourselves and not on the kingdom and not on his purposes and not on... Now, if the Lord told you, so this is such an important caveat, so important. If the Lord told you, buy this thing, buy the thing. Don't buy two. Unless he says buy two, and then buy two. If he says buy the thing, Furthermore, if the thing then starts to break down, God told you to buy the thing, you got to fix the thing. Now your money's invested in the thing God told you to buy. So if your car breaks down, you got to fix your car. That costs money. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all the discretionary income. I'm not talking about sustaining your life. I am talking about all the discretionary income. Any extra dollars, where are they going? When you see extra dollars, do you immediately think, ooh, cool new fun thing I get? Or when you see extra dollars, do you immediately think, Lord, how do you want me to spend that money? And if the Lord says, fun thing now, then buy the fun thing now. I just think we buy a whole lot of fun things without any leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you how backwards this is. Our family's going to Disney World in a few weeks. We're going to spend thousands of dollars on it. Two reasons. The Lord said, do it. And the Lord provided the money for us to do it. We didn't scrap together money and just, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to make this thing happen. By the Holy Spirit. See, because the Lord says, delight yourself in the Lord. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Amy and I said, we want to go to Disney World with our kids. And the Lord said, ooh, I can make that happen. Don't make it happen for yourself. Guys, this subject, I think it's going to be one of the big ones. We're going to stand before him, and he's just going to go, what? How did you live? You spent your money on yourself. You never even asked me what you were supposed to do with your money. You just did whatever you wanted with it. There's going to be a lot of regret on that point. How much free time you had. In the same way, discretionary money, discretionary time. We've all got 168 hours in the week. Has it ever crossed your mind to ask the Lord how he wants you to spend all 168 of them? They're his. Christ lives through us. Christ lives in us. I'm betting some of that time he's going to tell you to sleep. Because if you don't, you're not going to be much use to anybody, and I don't know that I want to interact with you, Mr. Grumpy. So some of that 168, I guarantee you, he's going to tell you to sleep. Some of that 168, he's going to tell you to work. So there's some chunk of time. And there's going to be a few other things. Do this, do this. After all that's done, you got a lot of hours left. How many hours? Six? 60? I don't know. I don't know your schedule. I don't know what the Lord's told you to do. One thing I'm sure of is you'll have extra hours. Ever dawn on you to ask the Lord how they're supposed to be spent? What if the Lord tells you, you know what? You're so busy with all this stuff. Take up tennis. Sweet! Playing tennis! But don't just go play tennis. Did it ever occur to you to ask the Lord how to spend the time? He is so much wiser of a planner and a scheduler of your life. See, the Lord is not after punishing us. The Lord is after submission. And if we'll give ourselves to him, he has an endless array of ways he wants to bless us in this life. Stop going and making the blessings happen for yourself. Start asking him, Lord, what am I supposed to do with my time? How am I supposed to invest it? How is that supposed to look? Because he has answers. And we're going to have to give an account. We're going to stand before him. He's going to go, why did you spend all that time that way and never ask me about it once? I thought we were in partnership. I thought you were in submitted life to me. Why did you have all this extra time or money or pick a something and not ask the Lord where it was supposed to go and what it was supposed to look like? Jesus said it twice in Matthew, so clear, and a million times elsewhere. Oh, wait, no, I got to do this last one. Sorry. Can't move on yet. Back up. Pretend I didn't say nothing. There's a good chance you're going to regret how little of his kingdom you built. It's possible to love God, love him, and never move the kingdom of God forward for decades. Because loving him and just taking care of your little thing, your little life, your little family, your little whatever, doesn't advance the kingdom beyond what you got your arms around. This is why it's so important to serve in the kingdom of God. That's why it's so important to be a part of the corporate work of what the kingdom of God is and moving things forward. Because there's things that we can do together that we can't do separate. We can't do individually. But that's written into the DNA. Do you know there's going to be so many that stand before the Lord? And he's going to look at them and go, where in your years did you move the kingdom of God forward? Where did you take ground for my kingdom? Not just where did you sustain what I gave you. Where did you advance the kingdom of God? Where did you push it forward? There's a million ways that can look. So whatever way you're thinking about right now and go, oh, there's only three, add zeros to that. There's 30,000. There's a million. There are so many different ways, but I will say this. You will never move the kingdom of God forward accidentally. And you'll never move the kingdom of God forward only focused on your own life. Because it requires you giving time and attention or money or whatever to see something that's happening in the kingdom of God and strengthen it to see it go forward. You don't have to be in leadership to make that happen. You don't have to be rich to make that happen. You don't have to have a lot of time to make that happen. But the question is, are we spending time intentionally trying to advance the kingdom of God? We're citizens of the kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. We can't just be thinking of ourselves as Americans. We have to be thinking of ourselves as Christians, a part of a kingdom, the kingdom of God. Did we spend time in 2022 intentionally advancing the kingdom of God forward? It's going to be a big question. I just feel like, oh, I'm pained when I think about that. So many saints that I've known that have even gone on to be with the Lord. And their answer to that question before the throne. I don't know how awesome it is. Because it doesn't happen accidentally. It takes great intentionality. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 10, 39 and Matthew 16, 25. Same gospel, just a few chapters later. He says more or less the same statement. Because this was one of the ones he was really after, related to what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You can read the Matthew 16, slightly different, same concept. What does it mean? What does this mean? Whoever finds their life, he says, listen, he's talking to people that are following him. He says, if you have made your life about your life, you're going to forfeit everything I'm trying to do for you. If you found your life, if you went out and found it, you went out and made it, you went out and forged it, you fought for these things, that this is going to be my life, I'm going to have it. He says, if you have fought for your life, you will actually forfeit it. He says, but instead, if you'll offer your life up to me as a sacrifice and say, here's my life, it's yours, you do whatever you want. He says, oh, I will bless you so much. You'll find it. You'll find true life. But that's the most backwards thing, right? I mean, for trained, you know, philosophical, analytical Americans, that's a crazy idea. So you'll give me stuff if I don't try to get stuff, but if I try to get stuff, I'm going to lose stuff. That's exactly the opposite of what our economy tells us. That's exactly the opposite of every other principle. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to teach you how my kingdom works. He says, if you try to make your life, you will forfeit so much of your destiny. If you make your life about you, if you find your life, if you make your life about you, you will forfeit so much of what I have for you. But if you'll choose to go the opposite direction and give me back your money, give me back your talents, give me back your time, give me back your family, give me back your desires, your objectives, if you'll give me back your life, you'll give it to me and go, Jesus, it's yours. What do you want? He says, I will bless the snot out of you. And you will fulfill your destiny. You will fulfill purposes. You will find true life. You'll actually enjoy life instead of striving and feeling the pain of it all and constantly having to be in the rat race. He says, that other way, that's how the lost world lives. Don't live like that. Lose your life for my sake. He says it in all the Gospels, all four. There's not too many statements that are in the Synoptics and also make it into John. This one makes it into John. This is a big deal. This is Jesus really hitting the thing home, the point home. Your job is to lose your life for me and for my sake. I love that statement. Not just whoever loses their life, for my sake will find it. Whoever loses their life for me and my sake. You could say it this way. For the greatest commandment and for seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Those that will do it for me. If you'll lose your life for me, for intimacy, and you'll also lose your life for the stuff I care about, my sake, my kingdom, my purposes. If you'll lose your life for my sake, the things that I'm into, I'll bless you. Your life will be awesome. Your 2023 will be epic. My hope here today is to call us to reflect and go, Lord, how do I live this out more in 2023? You won't get it perfect. Just start making some progress. Just chisel away at that big old hunk of ice. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. There's nobody perfect. The Bible says that. There's nobody that's doing it 100%. It's not even the objective. The objective is try, reach. And the Lord looks at that reach. I want to tell you, the Lord looks at your weak reach. And I say weak because some of you go, my reach is so weak, it can't even count. It counts just as much as the person's next to you that you think, because you don't know all their inner thoughts, that you think their reach is bigger than yours. Your weak reach is 100% pleasing to God. Just like the other persons that you look at and go, well, their reach matters more to God. Same if it's real, if it's all. A weak person giving all is just as beautiful to God as a strong person giving all. In fact, it's even more beautiful than a strong person giving some. Just give all. Just reach. Lord, help me in this next year. Help me to be one, God, that loses my life for you and your sake, for your purposes, for your kingdom, that I might find it, that I would not live for myself. Let me follow you. Let me be led of you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.